We started a new series a couple of weeks ago on spiritual battle, spiritual armor, spiritual warfare type thing. And the first week we talked about rebuilding the altars of our lives and how radically important that is. And it still is. We have to be a people who have the altars built, altars that are not in unity, worshiping God, become dismantled, and they become things that are obstacles in our hearts and obstacles in our lives and obstacles in our marriages and all of these things. We talked last week about having breakthrough prayer and praying and not just praying the set prayer, not just putting your head on the pillow at night and hit the night selection. You know, give us rest, give us sleep, help us wake up in the morning, but angels around us, and keep us safe, God. Kumbaya, amen. Prayer is so much more than that, and it needs to be so much more than that, and it can be so much more than that. Prayer is more powerful than we realize, because if we realized how powerful prayer was, we would pray more, to be very honest. And so we talked about breakthrough prayer and how we have armor that is a provision of God for us, but we need to learn how to put on the full armor of God. And you can have it, and it's great. You know, it's like you can have the sword of the Spirit, but if you never use the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit doesn't really do you much good. And so it's not just having the armor, but it's putting on the full armor of God. And we put on the armor of God through prayer. It's the means that we do that. Not mindless, repetitious, but genuine, authentic, real prayer. It doesn't have to be over a certain amount of time to be good. It has to be genuine and authentic to be good. Elijah with the 450 prophets of Baal, it was about a 60-word prayer. That's about a 30 to 45-second prayer. And I'd say something good worked out there. Fire came from heaven, took the offering, the stones, the wood, the sacrifice, the altar, the dirt, the water. I mean, I would say it would go on my effective prayer list. So it's got to be genuine. It's got to be authentic. It needs to be prayer that prays what God wants to do, and we learn what God wants to do by being in His Word. Prayer that understands that you address the physical issue that we face spiritually. We have victory in the Spirit. We got to deal with the root and not the fruit. And in Scripture, we know that Jesus is victorious. And I said this last week, that if you want to be victorious in the physical like you are in the spiritual, we have to address the physical spiritually. And so we need to be people who pray, who give heaven permission to interfere or to interrupt or to intercede into our situation. And I hope that this week that you have prayed that kind of prayer, that you are doing that kind of thing. So we need to pray the Word of God. We need to pray the principles of Scripture. We need to pray and seek and discover what God says about it and then pray that, because prayer is a connector of us to His presence and to His power. How many of you need God's power? How many of you want God's presence? Then we need to be people of prayer. There's not other ways. Prayer that's Kairos prayer, specific prayer for the evil day when it just seems like the devil picked you. That we go to war, prayer that's warfare, prayer that moves heaven, because there's an enemy that tries to hinder you and stop you and keep your answer from coming. But when we remain faithful and we pray the Word, we will break through. That's not a, hey, I just hope you feel good. That's not a, you know, hey, you just struck out on the ball game, you come off the field, and your dad goes, hey, you'll get them next time. That's not what that kind of statement is like. I'm telling you, when you pray the Word and the principles of God, when you pray and understand that the enemy's trying to stop you, but you're faithful in it, and you pray the Word of God, you will break through. So remain faithful. The spiritual pours over into the physical. That's how that works. And we grab the promise. We grab the promises of God. We grab the victory in the spiritual, and we pull it into our situation in the physical, and we gain victory. But we need to be alert, because there's an enemy. Not an enemy. I felt like little scene there from Finding Nemo. There's an enemy that is subtle. He sneaks up on you. He gets you thinking everything's awesome. And then he bushwhacks you. He's not loud and obnoxious and blatant so often. He's sneaky. He's like a lion seeking whom he may devour. But we have the victory. And so now we understand how to put on the armor. Let's start walking through the armor. And we're going to take some time this morning. And we're going to talk about the belt of truth. And of all the armor, this is the one that honestly, I got to be honest. See, you're kind of like, belt of truth? Eh. You know, shield of faith, that's exciting. Sword of the Spirit, that's exciting. You know, your feet with the gospel of peace. Girls, you love shoes, so that's exciting. But the belt of truth, I mean, it was kind of one of those things that I kind of thought, well, you know, maybe I'll do two this week. But as you get into it, this is a pretty powerful thing. This is a very powerful thing. And so we need to understand that, and I want you to understand. Let me read this. Let me feed Ephesians 6:14. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. One of the things that I want to say that I want you to know and get into your spirit earlier, because you need to hear the rest of this through the perspective of this next statement. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory, all right? Christ has won the battle. Christ has overcome. So we're in a battle, but we're fighting from victory. We're not fighting for victory. And that's why we can stand firm, because Jesus has already won, because of what he's done for us, because of what he did for us at the cross, because of grace, because of mercy, because of Calvary, because of life and eternal life. We have the victory, but what we need to do, what we need to be able to do is understand that with the victory comes a new set of clothes. My righteousness is laid down. I take on what? The righteousness of God, right? I got one of you understand. We lay our righteousness down because our righteousness is what? It's filthy rags. God, look how good I've been. How many know even on your best day? What was it Maxwell Smart used to say? Missed it by that much. I may have just dated myself. All the kids are like, what? We have a new set of clothes, a new set of armor. You got to notice that it's not the armor of Wes. It's the armor of God. It isn't what we bring to God, it's what God gives to us. And the first thing that he gave us is the belt of truth. And this is so critical. So let's define what truth is. Truth is the standard by which all reality is measured. Truth is the standard by which all reality is measured. So have you ever thought something was true until truth showed up? You know what? You get in a conversation, you're talking about somebody, and all of a sudden everybody gets quiet, and you know, they're behind me, aren't they? You know, and all of a sudden your perspective changes. Your perspective changes. You can have something you think is true. You can even believe that it's true, and then all of a sudden truth shows up, and you go, oh, okay. We convince ourselves of things, but when it's measured according to the standard of real truth, you see that it has holes, and you see that what you thought doesn't really stand up to truth and to real truth. Truth is a stabilizing piece of armor, and that's why it's the first piece of armor that God gives us. It is the belt of truth. It helps us to stand firm. Now, this morning when I got up and I put on this suit and I put on my iron, my shirt, and I got my shirt on, I put my tie on, and then you know what I did is I tucked my shirt in my pants. And I really did, all by myself. And then I put the belt on. And you know why? Because the belt stabilizes all of this. It keeps these up, which we're thankful. And it keeps all of this tucked in. It just, am I lying to you? This is very awkward, I realize. See, I look at your face and you're Some of you are going to bring spare belts in case one day I ever just forget it, you know. But you know what it does? But when you get your shirt right and you get everything set right, it's got to be right at belly button label. You know, if you get this high, you have to move to Florida. All right? If you get it below your belly button, you got to say the word yo a lot. Yo, what's up, yo? You know, the belt just kind of gets things in the right place, and then it just kind of holds it all there. The belt of truth is a stabilizing thing. This past week in staff, Gerald was with us, and we were all sitting around talking. And he was talking about he and Phyllis had just gone on a cruise, I think, and how awesome it was and wonderful things. And he said, oh, yeah, you always got to get the room kind of middle. He said, you don't want to get on an end or get too low or get too high because you'll feel the waves too much. You got to get middle, and that's the best place to go. And he said they hit some seas that were, I think, what did he say, Chris? Like 10-foot waves or something, 12-foot waves or something. He said, but the boat is so big, he said, that you didn't really feel it. And then Chris brought up and said, a lot of these cruise ships have what they call stabilizers on them. That something will kind of shoot out from the side of them. And I looked it up this weekend, and it really is like this extending wing that kind of goes out into the ocean. And what it does is, even though the waves are still big and the waves are still coming and hitting the ship, with the stabilizer, that it holds the ship steady in the midst of the storm. Most of the time. It stabilizes. That's what it does. Listen, God in His Word has given us truth, and it is to stabilize our lives in the midst of the storm. And let me show you how important this is. In John 16, it says this: in this world we will have an easy time all the time. That's not what it says. In this world you will have what? You ever had trouble? Now there's trouble, and then there's, oh, we're in trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. We're going to face struggle. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be failures. There's going to be times in your life that it's tough and it's challenging, and you don't know if you can get through. But in these times, we can find ourselves beginning to believe things that are not true about ourselves, about our relationships, about our future, things that aren't true about God. And so God gives us truth to hold us. He gives us truth to keep everything in the right place, even in the midst of storms. He stabilizes us through those seasons. You say, I may feel alone, I feel abandoned, but God's Word says He'll never leave us or forsake us. It's a stabilizer. I feel broken, I feel worthless. God says I'm valuable, like a hidden treasure in a field, that Jesus sold His own life to purchase that because you were there. Do you realize that this morning, that when you read that parable, that the treasure is you? He sold all he had to buy the field because the treasure was there. That's God's value of you. Do you always feel like that? No. You say, I'm stuck. I'm not going anywhere. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what to do. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. It's a stabilizer. It's something that when you don't know and you're not sure and you're confused, you just kind of, you know, y'all think we do this just to hug in the morning. Sometimes you got to do this in prayer too. God, I'm kind of getting beat up here, so hey, you know what? I'm just putting out my stabilizers. Speak to me. Give me truth. We've got to put on the belt of truth. And God says, in struggle, in the battle, when the storm is trying to rock you and make you life sick, the truth stabilizes you. And knowing what is true stabilizes you when you wrestle with what you feel. John 8:32 says that you will know the truth and what? And the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I had in Facebook earlier this week, I was just praying, God dropped this thought in, that there's a big difference between discernment and opinion. A lot of people talk opinion and call it discernment. Discernment is from God. Opinion is from you. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, what does it set us free from? Well, what's the opposite of truth? A lie. So if God says, know the truth, let me set you free, he's trying to set us free from the lies of the enemy. Because here's the thing, the enemy only knows how to function in lies. John 8:44, he has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And that's why the truth has to be so foundational in what we do and in who we are. And that's why it was the first piece of armor that God gave us. He said, you want to have victory? You want to win? You want to see your physical situation change? Then you got to deal with it spiritually. You've got to get God's truth about it. And when you have God's truth about it, you will overcome the enemy's lie at the physical level. It's a pretty cool thing. We need the belt of truth because we live in a day that everything is relative. Everything is relative. Absolute truth is not seen as possible, and it's discarded. But you've got to understand, there are two answers to any question. There's God's answer, and then there's everybody else's answer, and everybody else is wrong. There's God's view of the matter, and then there's the wrong view of the matter. So no matter what you're facing today, to find truth, you have to seek God's perspective, because that is truth. Because in truth, when we address the matter, that's when we're set free, and that's when we find victory. Now let me ask you something. Does all truth feel good? No. Not at all. Does all truth make us comfortable? Nope. But what does truth do? It sets us free. See, truth alone is the foundation of your victory. And so we're given the belt of truth, which gives us victory in the spiritual realm that affects how things work in the physical. See, a belt holds a man's pants up. It keeps his shirt tucked in. It brings order to the attire. It keeps the right thing in the right places. And a man will put on his pants and tuck in his shirt, and then he'll buckle his belt. And the thing is this, if we're going to win in the spiritual realm, we need truth. So don't go into something without truth, because it's truth that holds it all together. Now, from a historical perspective, back in the days of Scripture, people walk around, and the men and women wore these long robes called tunics. They didn't have pants. They didn't have yoga pants. They didn't have, can you imagine the picture of like the Last Supper where all the disciples were in skinny jeans? Aren't you glad? Tunics, I'll go with tunics. You know, I really will. I just kind of thought, can you imagine the Roman soldier standing before the cross in a pair of skinny jeans? And I'm just thinking, you know, clothing really makes a scene. If you think about it, that would just, I wouldn't have it in my house. I would just tell the story, but not show anybody. We've got to have truth. And so in Scripture, in the times of Scripture, they would walk around with these long robes and they were tunics. And here's the thing, they would wear them long unless they were getting ready to do something. If they were getting ready to get some work done, if they were getting ready to do something or something serious, Scripture said that they would gird up their loins. They would take a belt or a rope, and they would tie it around their waist, and they would take their tunic, and they would tuck it in so they didn't trip over, so they didn't get in the way of anything. There was work to be done, and they didn't want it to be a hindrance. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Elijah and the prophets of Baal and the battle on the mountain, and God was greater than the God of Baal. We talked about all of that. But at the very end of that time together, we said Elijah, after they had killed the prophets of Baal, and Ahab had hopped in a chariot with the horse and headed towards Jezreel. Let me read you what 1 Kings 18:46 says. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. The belt, it kind of puts things in the right place and keeps them there. And that's what truth does. You tuck your tunic in, you gird up your loins when you're getting ready to get to work to do something. So we know that the belt is truth and it holds things in the right place. So what is truth? Well, today you hear people talk about, well, my truth. That's true for me, not true for you. my experience brings with it a different truth. And it's such a unique thing. We don't think in terms of absolute. We don't think in terms of this is what God says and everything else is wrong. But God says, my truth is the truth. I'm the way, the and the life. So what is true for me? So almost any topic you bring up, there can be opposing views, and both parties believe that they're speaking the truth. And the thing is, truth changes all the time in this world. It is constantly changing. One day something's bad for you, and then a new study comes out, well, now it's okay for you. I remember when I was in college, they said, don't eat apples, because they wash apples in something that causes cancer. And I'm like, yeah, but an apple a day keeps the doctor away. They said, no, you just have to go to a different doctor. It's crazy. I remember when they said, everyone should stop drinking coffee. It hurts you. It's bad for you. Now I'm like, well, you know what? Coffee's good for you. You know, in balance, you drink, it opens up your blood vessels. It helps you with headaches. So now, all right, so now it's good. Truth changes all the time, but and it can be challenging to know what is truth. But truth is the standard by which all reality is measured. Truth is not based on how you feel or what you think about it. You discover truth, or to discover truth, you have to kind of look for the origin. You have to go back to the original thing to truly discover the truth of the matter. You heard me say this, that to really understand who you are, you need to seek God. Because God fashioned you, God made you, God's created you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of you more fearfully and others you more wonderfully. I realize that. But all of us were made and created by the hand of God. God knows you. And so to discover who I am, to find out who Wes Johnson is and what makes Wes Johnson tick, and discover my gifts and my personality and what God wants me to be, I can't go seeking after myself because I didn't create myself. I have to go after God because God created me. You've got to get back to the original. God knows who the true you really is. And we can get lost in life and we lose ourselves when we move away from our origin. Our beginning, our authentic person. We begin doing fine, being who God created us to be. And then people come by and start slapping labels on, don't they? People come by and have expectations of your life and of your heart and of your time and of your finance. They come by and they say, yeah, but I need you to be this. And most of the times it's selfish based, but they begin to do that and then it starts to change us. It impacts us. And then there's expectations and then there's situations in life, hardships and struggles that we kind of get busted up in, and that kind of deforms us and it changes the way we think because we begin to wrestle and struggle and think things that aren't true and maybe believe things that aren't true about ourselves and about God and about people. The truth is still the truth. It just gets buried and it kind of gets lost along the way. And when we don't know what truth is, we fall for lies. So we have to come back to the originator. We got to come back to the one who knows us, who knows our true identity because he formed us. So to know truth, I got to get back to the origin. God is truth because he's the original. There's nobody past God you can go to, because you never know. I mean, those of you with kids, you'll know. Sometimes we'll say, hey, Sierra or Chase, hey, go tell Ashton it's time for bed. And he'll come in, he'll be like, is it really time for bed? Because he heard from someone, but he needs to get to the original. He's going above the head of Chase to mom or dad to figure it out. There's no one above God. There's no one you can go around God and go, is this really true? God's it. He's the original. He is truth. He doesn't just reflect it. He is it. And we have to get to God to discover truth. So because God is the original or the originator, only God is perfect and only God can be the fixed standard of truth. So what is the truth? So what is the truth about what I'm dealing with? What does God say about it? When we have a situation, when we have an issue, when we have a struggle, instead of putting your little minds to work and, oh, we stress and worry and we try to figure it all out in our head, and then two steps into our plan, it's a mess. What if we just said, what does God have to say about it? What does God want me to do here? Now listen, if next Sunday you came, and I said, you know what, guys, I won the lottery, and I'm sending all of you to Florida for a week. We're going to have church down there on me. Yeah, I am nice. What if we got on the plane? It was a private jet, of course. I won the lottery. And the pilot comes on intercom. He says, hey, thanks for flying West Johnson Air. I'm pretty sure we have enough runway to get off the ground. And we'll find out. You know, you'd kind of be looking at me a little weird. We take off, and we make it. And we're like, okay, whoo, you know, guy, he's a prankster. He's a prankster. And then he says, okay, I think we're flying south. Feels like it anyway. What? Feels like it? What do you mean feels like it? I'm in a plane. I'm 23,000 feet up. I don't want you feeling like anything. It doesn't work like that. I think we're going south. It feels south. You know, pilots use their instruments because if you go by feeling and sight, you can get all disoriented. You can get all messed up. You can think you're going one way and you're going another way. That's why they have instruments in the plane. That's why they have a control tower. You got to understand, Satan is a great deceiver, and when he can get you going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, and you feel like you're doing the right thing and going the right way. You ever make a decision you thought was the right decision in the moment, and now you look back at it and go, oh my gosh. That's why you have control timers when you fly, because you need a standard of truth outside of the inside of that plane. Your pilot comes on the intercom and says, yeah,
we're going to attempt to land.
Attempt? What do you mean attempt to land?
I don't see any of the planes out the windows.
What? You don't see any of the planes out the windows? Who hired this guy, you know? That's when he comes out and he goes, I'm doing good, you know? Doesn't matter if he doesn't see planes in the area because his sight is limited. You need the control tower. Who's got the big board? Who knows where every plane is? And just because you can't see it doesn't mean that a plane's not there. And if you try to land at the wrong time, you can cause a lot of mess. Speaking about truth today, the question we have to ask ourselves, the question that we have to wrestle with is what is going to be your final standard of truth? Is it going to be your emotions? Is it going to be how you feel about it in the moment? There are people that truth is what they feel, but feelings change, don't they? One minute you can be happy, and the next minute you're sad. One minute you're laughing, the next minute you're crying. I just watched this movie. I got it for Ashton called The Good Dinosaur. Have y'all seen that? It is messed up. It is messed up. I sat there. I look, half my family's bawling. It's a kid's movie. What in the world? In the movie, he eats, they get high on mushrooms. Finds these mushrooms, and all of a sudden they're floating around. I'm like, what in the world is this? Ashton said, he goes, well, that's kind of weird. Yeah. Yes, it is. It's amazing. I mean, one minute you're laughing, the next minute you're crying. You see, I can't use my feelings as a standard of truth for my life. Now, I'm not saying the feelings aren't real, and I'm not saying you don't feel what you feel. They're real, and they're there. But what I'm saying is you can't let feelings be the final say in what truth is. Because they will lie to you, and they will trip you up. You might be here today, and you know what? You're very smart. You're an intellectual person. You love to read. You're brilliant. You're a fixer. You're good at doing life, very analytical. You're gifted at figuring things out. And here's the thing, even though you may be smarter than the person next to you, you're still limited in your thinking. You cannot use your intelligence as a measurement of truth because you have limitations and you simply don't know what you don't know. And that's why with new information we go, oh. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. You ever been in the middle of an argument with your spouse or someone and then in the middle of it realize you're wrong? That never goes well. You're like, oh, yeah, well, I'm... You know? That's what I say, Steph, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I just want to pray. happens. New information changes our mind. And God is the only one who has all the information. He knows our yesterday and our tomorrow. God is consistent. God is truth. So what do we do about our moral values? Well, they're all different, and everybody in here has different opinions on what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. And even if they're in this room sitting on the same pew, there are people of different levels of morality. So we all have to make a statement about what is truth, even if we don't like it. But I tell you what happens. Have you ever gone to the doctor and says, "Doc, I just haven't been feeling right. Something's been a little weird." And they do. They take some blood, and they test you. They hit their knee with a thing, and they listen to your heart. And then they come back and say, "Hey, here's the issue. And we're going to give you a prescription. And here's what you need to you need to lose some weight. You need to start working out. You need to stress less," which is always very helpful. And that's what you need to do. And then you go home and you don't do any of it. Be honest now, don't lie. You know what we do? We if we don't like the truth, we get a second opinion. Or we change doctors. Can I tell you that people change churches because they don't want truth? People switch counselors because they don't want truth. We change friends because we don't want truth. So what is truth for you this morning? And you say, "Pastor Wes, I get it. I got it. It holds things right. Holds things in place. Read the Bible. Know the Bible. That will help us. Why, you know, we got. Why are you harping on this? Because it's a big deal. And I want to tell you why. Because the enemy functions in lies. And when we believe a lie, it's an opportunity for the enemy to enter in your situation. And so we have to put on the belt of truth, because when we believe a lie, our soul, which is our mind, our emotion, and our will, gets distorted. The vision, the sight gets impacted, and we can't move forward the way that we need to move forward. The moment that you begin to trust yourself or your opinion over God and believe a lie, the enemy can come in to begin to influence our lives. You ever had one of your kids come and try to convince you of something that was absolutely ridiculous? "Dad, can I go to the park?" "Well, who's going to go with you?" "No one. I'm going to go myself." "Ashton, you're 8. "No, you can't go to the park by yourself. I play out on the playground every day." "You're at school. There's teachers. There's other kids. So I can walk there." "No, you're not going to the park by yourself." "Well, my friends go to the park by themselves." You ever try? They ever hit you up with group thinking? "Everyone does it, Dad. Everyone's going to be there. I have to be there." I'm like, "Well, every other parent doesn't love you as much as I love you." You know, they try to get you with that whole group thinking. Well, here's the thing. With age comes wisdom, and they simply don't know what they don't know. Well, here's the catch. We're God's kids. We're the children of God. And you know what? We're not enough to function outside of Him. We don't know enough to have independent truth of God. It doesn't work like that. So independent of God is truth. We believe lies, and we give influence to the enemy, and they try to rule us in our minds. And you got to understand, this is where 90% of spiritual warfare happens. Right between the ears. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says this: "We are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to listen to this, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." See, the battle is not physical, it's spiritual. And look what it says about human reasoning. My own ideas, my own thoughts. This is what I think truth is versus what God says truth is. And I see what God says, but here's what I think. That's the battle. That's the stronghold. That's why we need the belt of truth, to get rid of anything that blocks God's point of view from getting through to us. Because if the enemy can block God's point of view from getting through to us, he can get you to function in your point of view, your mom's point of view, your friend's point of view, society's point of view. They influence our lives into pain and struggle and damage. And we can find ourselves in a stronghold, a spiritual thing that you can't shake. Some translations say lofty things. In the Greek, that means a partition. That's what that means. Like downstairs in Reeves Hall, if you've been downstairs in Reeves Hall, it's a long room. And right around the middle of it, we have this accordion-style door that you can kind of pull across, and we can partition the room off. That's what the devil wants to do. That's what the devil wants to accomplish in your life. He wants there to be a God side and then a flesh side. He wants there to be a Bible side and then a what you think and what other people think side. Devil doesn't care if you give God Sunday as long as he gets you from Monday to Saturday. He can keep the truth of God from getting in. He can influence us with human reasoning, lofty ideas, false arguments, rebellious ideas. And without the knowledge of God, you don't have the work of God, the power of God, and the Spirit of God bringing you to victory. So the belt of truth is a big deal. Truth is a big deal. We need the belt of truth because it holds us together. It stabilizes us in the trials and the struggles that come. But here's the thing. Truth is more than just information, and it's more than just facts. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We like to quote that when we don't have to find the truth, don't we? It flows off our lips when I already know what I'm going to do. But if what you're calling truth isn't what God says is truth, it's not going to set you free at all. Anything that disagrees with God is not truth. You will not break through, you will not be victorious, and you will not be free indeed. John 8 says, what the Son sets free is free indeed. Listen, God's truth, not your truth, you will be free indeed. God's truth. Sometimes people seem like they're attacked, and they're attacked, and they're attacked, and they can't overcome, and they can't overcome, and they can't overcome, and I'm going to tell you why. They don't have enough truth. And if I can quote the famous theologian Jack Nicholson, the devil can't handle the truth. Think about it, Matthew chapter 4. Jesus goes into the wilderness. He fasts 40 days, 40 nights. How many of you thought 21 was tough? And we had food. He did nothing. At the end of a 40-day fast, the enemy comes. The devil comes to him and tempts him three different times. You're hungry. Turn the bread to stone, or the stones to bread. Eat. What does Jesus respond to him with? Scripture. Jesus takes what God says. And he pushes it back at the devil. Man doesn't live by bread alone. The enemy comes again a second time and hits him. Comes again a third time, hits him. Every time, what did Jesus respond with? Scripture says in verse 11, Matthew 4, then the devil left him. And angels came to see. The devil can't handle the truth because his nature is that of a liar. And his character is deception. So when you're in battle, when you're in struggle, when you're in the midst of whatever you might be in the midst of today, you keep hammering him with the truth, even when you don't feel it. You keep hammering him with the truth, even if you may not like that truth. You keep hammering him with the truth, but God said, but God said, but God said, but God said. You keep it going, and you keep it going. The enemy has you thinking that there's something that your life was never going to be, never meant to be. The enemy might have you this morning thinking that your marriage is something you never thought it was going to be. The enemy has you thinking this morning your relationship was something that it was never going to be, that your kids are going to be something they were never intended to be. And I'm telling you what, you've got to hammer and hammer and hammer and hammer away, because if you don't, what happens? You hear it for so long that the enemy has you starting to believe it. So you combat lies with the truth. What is God's truth for your life? What is God's truth for your marriage? What is God's truth for your children? What is God's truth for your future, for your job? What is God's truth for your career? The enemy says you're a nobody, not enough. God says you're somebody. I don't care how high the wall is or how long it's been there, you keep hammering it with the truth. And one of these days, you're going to hit it with the truth. And you're going to hear a pop. And you're going to look, and there's going to be a small little crack. And then you keep hitting it, and you keep hitting it. And I'm telling you, the wall will come down. Because the enemy cannot handle the truth. Be faithful. Put on the belt of truth. Be steady. Stand firm. Because you know what God says about your situation and about your struggle. And I'm telling you, the wall's coming down. And friends, listen, you will see the truth and it will set you free. Amen. Can I get you to bow your head this morning? Listen, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you through this message? What is God saying to you? We have to get past churchy and get real. We've got to get past churchy. We've got to get real. What is God saying to you? And then how do I practically take that and put it into action in my life? What is God saying to you? Some of you this morning, do you know what? You're functioning in a truth, but it may not be God's. You've talked to friends, you've talked to other people, you've read self-help books. You're getting wisdom from different things and different places, but you have not got on your face and sought God and said, God, what do you say about this situation? You've not gotten into the Word and found the promise and found the principle and found what God has to say, and that's why you're not winning. You're fighting, but we have to get what God has to say. So what truth are you functioning in? Are you functioning in God's or the world's or yours? Truth is the foundation of the victory that you want in your life. And some of you this morning, listen, you've believed lies about yourself. You've believed lies about yourself. And there are some things that you feel are way out of your reach, that are just on the other side of the wall. But you got to take truth and you got to hit it. And you got to hit it. And you got to hit it. And you keep hitting it. You don't grow weary in it. And you stay faithful in it. And you keep pushing. And you keep pressing. And you keep saying, God, but your word says. But God, you say. But God, this is what the Bible says about this. And you're not saying what my mama thinks. And well, I talked to my friend. And you know, I dated a girl one time that whenever we would have a spat, she would talk to her aunt. Her aunt had been married and divorced 5 times. I can remember telling her, I'm not sure she's who you ought to talk to. We get truth, we get ideas, we get theory from all over the place. But have we sought the face of God and said, God, what do you have to say about this? Because there's God's view and then there's the wrong view. So put on the belt of truth this morning. Put on the belt of truth for your marriage. Stop believing what the devil's been telling you. Because he's now said it so much that he doesn't even have to say it because you say it. Stop believing the lie of the enemy about your life. Stop believing the lie of the enemy about your value. Stop believing the lie of the enemy about what you can be and who you can be and who you are. Stop believing because you're just giving the devil room to work. You got to discover God's truth because the enemy can't handle the truth. And I'm telling you, you can know the truth and the truth will set you free. So I'm going to open up these altars in a moment. And if you're here and there are things in your mind, there are things about your marriage, your thing, your kids, your finances, your life, your career, whatever. I don't know when, you know, in this world you will have trouble. I don't know where you're having trouble right now, but you do. And I want to ask you this morning, have you got God's perspective on that? And if the enemy has been coming and lying to you, if the enemy has been coming and just chipping away and chipping away, will you this morning be honest with yourself? Will you this morning be honest with God? And will you take a moment and will you come and will you stand at an altar, kneel at the altar, whatever you feel you need to do, and will you just ask God to bring truth into it? It doesn't mean it's all going away today. There's a process. There's work. But I'm telling you, if you hit the wall and hit the wall and hit the wall, and hit the wall, and hit the wall, and hit the wall and say, my marriage will make it, and hit the wall and say, I'm valuable, and you hit the wall and you say, I'm not a nobody, and if you hit the wall and say, God has things for me that are yea and amen to those that believe, and if you hit the wall and say, and I read the word and I know the word and I know what scripture says about my value, he shed his blood for me, and you keep hitting the wall, he laid on a cross for me, and you keep hitting the wall, and on the third day he rose again and the tomb is empty because he's alive, I can be alive, then I don't have to live like I'm dead. And you hit the wall and you hit the wall and you hit the wall, it will come down. So stand in truth today. Stand in truth today. And be set free. Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, draw near to us and stir our hearts. Give us right now, I pray, oh God, the opportunity. We have free will. We all make choices. But God, will you allow us to overcome fear, to overcome lies, to overcome all of that, and come and stand or come and kneel and invite truth. Invite your perspective. And help us this morning to put on the belt of truth, because it's going to hold the right things in the right places. If that's you this morning, if you need to come, would you stand to your feet and come? You need truth. You need truth about something. You need truth in your life. You need truth to come and open your eyes. You need truth to come. You need truth to come and show you God's perspective and not your perspective. Some of you, man, you've been lied to by the enemy and you've been believing the enemy about your value and your own self. You need truth to come and shine a light into those things that we hide in the dark because we're afraid of them and they scare us and they shame us. You need truth to come, and what you think is the end of you, God says, that old thing, some of the things you're asking God for, God can do a miracle and it'll be done in a moment. But some of the things, guys, we put on the belt of truth because we got to put our tunic in it, because we're getting ready to do something serious. It's time to go to work. It's time to be. It's time to become.